Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's 11 minutes after 5 o'clock. You would be hearing the president if my computer didn't crash, so I'm sorry about that. Clearly this morning, a historic day between the summit between President Putin and President Trump.
And the reaction is ongoing.
Yeah, most of it's not good.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's even, you know, Trump's allies are stepping up and saying, hey, we support your policies. We love you, President Trump. But why didn't you stand up for America's defense and specifically our intelligence agencies and what they found out?
We're going to be taking your calls in just about a minute. But we're going to read a couple of the responses before the key word. Former CIA Director John Brennan says, quote, it rises and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? That was former CIA Director John Brennan. That was the president in his press conference with President Putin after their summit. Lindsey Graham said today it was a missed opportunity by President Trump to firmly hold Russia accountable for 2016 meddling and deliver a strong warning regarding future elections. And Lindsey Graham, again, is often a favorite of the president.
Something that Representative Amash said, he is a Michigan congressman. He said a person can be in favor of improving relations with Russia, in favor of meeting with Putin, and still think something is not right here. This is Representative Justin Amash, Republican from Michigan. He said this on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. We are about to talk with one of our new guests is going to be joining us from Inside Trump. But let's take a call from Jim in St. Paul. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling in. All voices welcome here.
Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon. You know, I'd like to address something I heard two other people talk about before. And they were saying, you know, with Russia on our side, they'll help us in North Korea and they'll help us in the Middle East. And who the hell do you think is causing the trouble in the?
Shoot, we need you to call back. Was it Jay? I'm so sorry, we got disconnected. We need you to call back, sir, because I think you're making a good point and we need to hear it. 651-989-9226. We apologize for the technical problem there.
Those dang cell phones.
You know, that happens sometimes. Some other reaction before we bring on our guest. Representative Don Beyer tweets. A lot of these came out on tweet. Donald Trump's performance at his summit with Putin today was the most astonishing display of weakness and submission that I have ever seen from an American president. Earlier, we had Kayleigh McEnany from the RNC. She's the national spokesperson. She defended the president and said this is a business person's approach.
She said this is one chapter in an ongoing novel. In other words, don't rely solely on today to reach a conclusion, that mm-hmm. this may be part of a bigger strategy.
We asked her to join us only because even the Republicans were lambasting him, so we were looking for someone to maybe give different perspective. Before we take our guest, Jim, thanks for calling back, and I'm sorry we lost you. Make your point, sir.
Yeah, the thing I was saying is you know, you can't take Russia at its word for anything. They lie constantly. We know that. Unfortunately, our president lies all the time, and we know that.
Jim, I'm sorry we lost you, and thank you for calling back, sir. We appreciate it. Joining us now is Lon Harris. Lon writes a great newsletter. It's called Inside Trump. If you don't already get it in your mailbox, I would encourage you to look for Inside Trump. He's going to give us some perspective. Lon, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So we've been reading some reaction from Republican and Democratic lawmakers. We've been taking some reaction. we've been on the air for 2 hours. has anything happened in the last 2 hours, Lon?
What happened today? What should listeners at home know about this summit, and why is it important? Is it important?
Well, that's really the question. What we've been dealing with all day is, this one thing happens, and then literally all day has been every person in America has to have their own reaction to what happened. So, the big important thing seems to be what happened behind those closed doors for 2 hours that we don't know about. All we really know about is what they then said to Americans afterwards. And, of course, a lot of people are guessing, what is Putin secretly sort of controlling Trump? Why are they speaking so behind closed doors, away from aides, away from everyone else? And everything we're really hearing today is just people sort of trying to intuit, based on the press conference, what really happened behind the scenes.
Any clue? And was it so different from what we saw? Really, should we think that it was any different from what we saw in the presser?
Everything I have in years of writing a newsletter and following Donald Trump news every day, when you hear people who know him talk about him, again and again, you hear the phrase, like, the same Trump you see on TV is the Trump you see in real life. Like, the Trump from the golf course is the Trump in the boardroom, and it's all one Trump. So there probably isn't reason to believe that it was wildly different behind closed doors. But we really can't know. They're discussing so many things. Their whole conversation could have been about Russia's weapons stockpile or sanctions against the wealthiest Russian citizens or Crimea or Syria or North Korea. And then they just played for the cameras that they had even discussed the collusion issue. So there's really no way that we can really know.
Well, Putin has been described as a thug, as a tyrant. A lot of adjectives come to mind. Lon, what do you think accounts for the is it too strong to say the word admiration that President Trump has towards Putin? Is it the fact that
is there a tape?
Putin can basically do what he wants. There really are no checks and balances like we have in this country with Congress and the judiciary. But what accounts for that fondness?
Right. I think we've noticed with Trump over and over again is that it seems like with other leaders who are our allies and who we think of as being sort of like-minded about America, there's a hostility there. Justin Trudeau from Canada or Angela Merkel from Germany. We sense that Trump's hesitant with that, but then in this full-throated embrace of people we think of as tyrants or authoritarians or dictators, Kim Jong-un notably recently, but also from the Philippines, and the list kind of goes on and on.
Right.
It's hard to say. You had a Republican on, and the Republican line on this is, well, that's what you do. You keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer, and you make nice with the people who you have the hardest time with. And so they kind of keep going back to that explanation. I will go to in Slate today, a writer named Isaac Schotner wrote something that I think sort of zeroes in on it, which is he's talking about how Trump is almost fawning when he's with people like Putin, that he seems it's a personal relationship rather than just he's trying to make nice with the leader. And he wrote, I've never seen him behave this way with another person, where he's almost deference to Putin. Like when you think of him the other day when we saw him with Queen Elizabeth, she's a 92-year-old woman, and he's cutting in front of her. He seems to almost ignoring her while they walk together. You don't see that with Putin. He seems to really like being with Putin and admire him. Who knows if it's a strategy, if it's a play, or if they just get along? I don't know.
Well, with the divisions in the European Union on full display at the NATO summit, is it simplistic to say that anything that weakens NATO or increases divisions here in the United States is to the benefit of Russia? Isn't Putin's primary goal to make Russia mighty again? He's the one who said that the demise of the Soviet Union was like the greatest disaster of the 20th century.
Right.
And he's trying to reconstitute, a great Russia again. So I just wonder, what Putin's end goal in all this is as well.
Sure. Well, we've known that, NATO is not a strong NATO is definitely not in Putin's interest. And Hillary Clinton, during the 2016 election, was saying, this is what will happen if you put in this leader who's backed by Putin, is we're going to, throw NATO into disarray. And it certainly happened. Putin's got a long wish list, and a lot of it does seem to be coming true. There's putting the West into general disarray, threatening the NATO alliance. The Syrian civil war, the Syrian government has taken a strong upper hand. Nobody is really talking about more sanctions against Russia for annexing Crimea, for any of their 2016 actions in America or anything else. The reputation of America and Americans is lower on the world stage. I mean, there's huge protests against us wherever the president goes. All of that are all items on Putin's sort of personal wish list, if you could check them off. And that's what I think we keep coming back to, is we keep seeing so many things that Trump is doing and saying are beneficial. We don't have that smoking gun of evidence that it's anything other than,
sure,
you know, it correlation. And we don't have the causation proof yet. But everything that's happening does seem to be playing into things that are very beneficial for Putin and the Russians.
Lon, if people don't already subscribe to Inside Trump, your newsletter, where can they do that?
Sure. You go to inside.com/Trump. I have two newsletters. I got screwed up. Inside.com/Trump. That's where to go to get Inside Trump. You can sign up and it's free. And we send it out 3 times a week.
Lon Harris, we'll be calling on you again. Thank you for the perspective, sir.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Thanks, Lon.
Yeah. He writes a great newsletter, and he just tries to keep us updated on what the heck is going on.
I'm exhausted just trying to keep up, and I think most listeners are probably exhausted and want to talk about anything else, and yet we have to talk about this.
We do, and we'll take your reaction. And again, we try, Paul and I, are really striving to go to this with an open mind and an open heart and let everybody be heard, and somewhere in the middle, get to some truth and some better understanding of each other. So our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Bill in Coon Rapids, we see you on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back to Bill's call on CCO. You are the sunshine of my life.
Really?
No, not really. I really like you a lot, but... my mother used to sing that to my brother because apparently he was the sunshine of her life.
She didn't sing it to you?
She did not.
You poor thing.
She did not.
You turned out okay.
It's very telling. You can.
Hey, we're all damaged, okay? We're all a little damaged.
Honey, let's do some healing. Let's let it all out, folks. Get it out. Our number is 651-989-9226. We're talking the Trump-Putin summit.
Is this much ado about nothing?
This morning. It is Bill in Coon Rapids. Bill, you've been so kind to wait on the line. I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. I just want to say I think it's a complete disgrace for a president of this country to capitulate to a guy like Putin. But then again, why not? That's Trump. If he really pushed Putin might just open up and tell everybody what really did happen.
You are echoing the sentiment of some of our own Congress people. Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He says Mr. Trump's performance at the summit with Putin was not a good moment for our country, and it was a very good day for President Putin. Senator John McCain calls the president's press conference one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. He calls it a tragic mistake.
Ben Sass, Senator Sass from Nebraska, said a better thing, Mr. President, would be to declare Russia is the enemy of America and our allies, and we will expose and respond to their continued cyber attacks. Again, Bill, can I ask you a personal question? Did you vote for President Trump?
No, I did not vote for Hillary either.
Fair enough. Appreciate the call.
Here's one fact that Trumpers seem to forget. Trump never won the election. Yes, he got the presidency, but he didn't win the election. He came in the back door by the Electoral College.
You're talking about the popular vote.
That's right. He did not win it.
Bill in Coon Rapids, we appreciate the call.
Thanks for calling, Bill. Thank you for listening.
Mark in Lindale has also been waiting on the line. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
We're well, thank you.
I got to tell you, I loved the summit. I thought he did a great job. You know, we've had some foreign policy malpractice ever since Reagan won the Cold War. You know, we had boots on the ground when Yeltsin was getting elected. I guess we kind of screwed up when we did the Magnitsky Act, when we were trying to work with them on Iran and Syria and Afghanistan and all those places. We also had Putin making a formal complaint to Obama regarding Hillary's interference with his elections. when he tried to do this. And then when you think about it, NATO, its existential purpose was to, be there for the Cold War. And when the Cold War was over, wouldn't it be natural for Russia to believe that, wow, why are we still getting all this pressure from all the NATO guys? And they're taking over all of our, Iron Curtain countries next door to us. And all of that stuff happened before they even had this problem with Crimea. They probably thought they were getting closed in. They're a small country. Their economy is only as big as New York. And they have the whole world going around them when, in fact, they did something good by getting rid of the Soviet Union.
Mark, do you think President Putin is pro-democracy?
I think that if you go back, and I've traveled and I've lived in West Berlin and I've traveled to Russia, they're a country that was beaten up huge by World War II. They lost 20 million lives, more than any other country in the world. If you go there, you'll see all of the suffering that they incurred. It's in Vladimir Putin's DNA to not trust people from the West. And so when they made a jump to democracy, it's kind of like teaching a kid how to ride a bike. He's going to have to go through some training wheel years until they kind of figure it out. I agree with you in one sense. You know, he's not doing what we're doing democracy-wise, but it's a huge leap to do what he's done so far. And we kind of screwed up when we started meddling in the Yeltsin stuff back in the day. And, Hillary, there's a Time article out there that talks about all the stuff Hillary did when she renewed regime change as being a problem around the world. And that just, scared them. And, Ukraine was just about to become another NATO country, and they had disputes regarding Crimea and that edge of the border for many years following that. And so it would have been World War II had they been admitted to NATO if Vladimir Putin had waited any longer to do the Crimea thing.
I've been in Estonia and Latvia, and I know the people there are still very nervous about the Russians coming in. And would NATO stand up? Would NATO defend them? If it's some of these Eastern European countries. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. But, Mark, we appreciate your input and your call today, sir.
Thanks for listening, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just a reminder, President Putin has ruled Russia since 2000. He's created a regime under which his opponents are murdered. Political prisoners are sent to Siberia for decades behind bars. Minority rights are suppressed. Opposition is quashed. Foreign territory is forcefully annexed.
There is no democracy
in Syria's
Russia,
President
right?
Bashar Assad.
He's an autocrat.
Enjoys direct military support for the massacres. There is more on the list. Just continuing the conversation. Wayne, we see your call. We are super late for that commercial that pays our salary, so let's do that. More calls on the President Trump, President Putin summit here on CCO.
So, Jordana and Paul with you on a Monday. Thank you for tuning in. And we're talking about the summit. A lot of people talking about what happened in Helsinki today.
Yeah.
Did President Trump wittingly or unwittingly aid and abet an enemy? Or is this much ado about nothing, and that this is just a speed bump geopolitically and stay tuned for the end goal, which may be, closer relations with Russia, and maybe that, that's a good thing for the United States. Nancy Pelosi, as you might expect, came out fairly stridently. She said, she tweeted, "Every single day I find myself asking, what do the Russians have on Donald Trump personally, financially, and politically? The answer to that question is that the only thing that explains his behavior and his refusal to stand up to Mr. Putin." Mitt Romney said President Trump's decision to side with Putin over American intelligence agencies is disgraceful and detrimental to our democratic principles. Russia remains our number one geopolitical adversary. Claiming a moral equivalence between the USA and Russia not only defies reason and history, it undermines our national integrity and impairs our global credibility.
Senator Amy Klobuchar on her Facebook page said this: "The president was asked specifically if he believes his intelligence officers or Putin. He refused to side with Americans who have dedicated their lives to serving our country. Instead, he chose to side with the man who attacked our democracy." Wayne has been very graciously waiting on the line for us to get back from commercial. Wayne, we want to hear your thoughts, sir.
I'm going to laugh about this a little bit and be the devil's advocate.
Sure.
Everybody's wondering what Trump is doing. I think, first of all, I didn't vote for him, but he is our president, and I respect him. And I think a lot of more people got to think that way. But this is just going to be kind of funny, but I think he's a businessman first, president second. Maybe somewhere down the line after his presidency, he might want to do business with Russia. And I think he's doing a heck of a job of building rapport with Putin. And I think we all got to lighten up. But this is just a funny way of saying, you know, he's doing what he's doing. Everybody knows that. So what do you think?
But Wayne, his responsibility is to the American people, not to his future business interests.
Well, I understand that, but I think he thinks he's doing the right thing. I really do.
For himself or for us?
Well, I think it is. Some of it, I'm not disagreeing with what he's doing. I think getting along with Russia is not a bad thing. But I'm kind of throwing this in as maybe that's in the back of his head. I think he can think about two or three things at once, you know. And I know he's trying to take care of himself. There's no, you know, reason not to think that way. But also, you're right. You got to look out for the country. But I don't know if this is all that bad. I really don't see any bad coming out of getting along with Russia. I guess, you know, I don't know, understand that all of it. So I'm just speaking what I feel.
Wayne, we appreciate the call. Thank you for waiting so long to chat with us.
Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah.
You're
you
welcome. Bye now.
You got it. Julie's in Minneapolis. Julie, how you doing, dear?
Hi. Hello, dear. Yeah, I just tuned in. You know, it was kind of interesting because I heard the whole thing on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't see the facial expressions and the body language. But I thought Trump sounded exhausted, which is understandable. But I also, what kind of scared me is I thought he sounded defeated. And I thought Putin sounded on top of things and superior and in control. So that just kind of bothered me. I noticed the right-wing radio right away started blaming the media, no surprise, for asking the wrong questions and being too tough on the poor baby.
Oh, really?
But, okay. That was Rush Limbaugh's show.
Wait, what did Rush say we were supposed to ask, Julie?
I don't know.
Silverware.
I don't know how those right-wing radio guys think. But, you know, both sides are entrenched, and they believe their guy is great. If they like him and they can't stand him, they're not going to like him because of this also. But it's all about it, folks. You go out and vote in November, both sides. The experts say the Democrats have to win by about a 7-point average to make up for people getting kicked off the rolls and et cetera. So, hey, this is America. All you can do is vote.
There
Julie, I like your perspective.
Thank you, Julie.
Right?
Yeah, well said.
Good for you, Julie. Thanks for calling in, love.
And isn't that true? I mean, everybody is sort of entrenched. When's the last time you heard somebody come up and say, you know, I changed my mind based on this or based on that, and I now think differently? I can't recall the last time somebody came up and said, hey, I've changed my mind. People see what they want to see. And now we can't even agree on the facts.
Well, maybe they don't change their minds, but they change their votes. We had a couple of texts earlier in the day.
Well, that was back in 2016, based on Hillary's emails being leaked. And they
correct.
Said that was enough to push them over to vote for President Trump.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. Let's take some more of your calls. Our phone number is 651-989-9899-226. We're almost out of time, but Colleen in Maplewood. Let's get you calling. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, how are you?
Great,
hey, Colleen.
Hello. Well, okay, my first thought is, if we could impeach a sitting president for having inappropriate relationships in an Oval Office, why has Congress not done anything to move impeachment forward with Donald Trump? He has proven to be ineffective and more treacherous to our country than Clinton has. I just don't understand why there has been no action or movement towards this. And I'm interested in your opinion.
My understanding is that they don't have the votes.
Well, also, I don't know that anything's actionable. I don't know that he has done anything yet or that we know about, Colleen, to say this is an impeachable offense. That's what they're doing with the Mueller probe, I imagine, looking for something that they can get him on if there is anything.
Is there a true
know.
Smoking gun?
Oh, right.
We have these 12 indictments, these 12 Russian military
right.
agents who were indicted by Mueller's team last
week. But there's nothing against our president yet to say he did the wrong thing. There's no evidence of that yet, Colleen.
Connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, to say the EU is our foe, our adversary, when we have done so much together to increase relations with the EU. They were our partners during World War II, during other military endeavors. But then to say Putin and Russia is our friend, no, there's something really, really wrong here.
Colleen, we appreciate the call. Thank you, dear.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Colleen.
You calling in. You got it.
Thank
we have time for
you.
Wilbur?
Yeah, real let's quick. Sneak in Wilbur. He's been waiting. Hey, Wilbur, we got about a minute. Don't want to rush you, but what you got?
First of all, Colleen, they couldn't impeach President Clinton for having sex in the Oval Office.
But they did impeach President Clinton.
They did? I could have swore that he served out his term.
He did. They didn't vote him out, but he was
officially impeached.
He was officially impeached.
They tried to oust him, and they couldn't. This president has done, this is all to do about nothing. The left-wing wackos are just off their rockers.
We try to be respectful on this show, Wilbur. We have been
talking about you guys. I'm talking about
okay, I just want
to other media.
Create
You're trying.
Respect.
Thank God for Paul on this show, because you'd have no listeners. Thank you.
Except Wilbur, no. I guess.
We
try to be respectful. I think we've given ample opportunity to folks on the side who are defending the president today.
We're trying to give as many voices a say as possible.
Thank God for you, by the way.
No.
Thank God for you. Or else there'd be zero listeners on CCO.
Does he say things that make me uncomfortable, that make me angry? Yeah, all the time. But again, I'm trying to go off results and policy and what actually is he going to move the needle? Are people going to, you know, in 2020 say, yeah, my lives are better. Mm-hmm. My life is better and I'm going to vote for him again.
But
I don't know the answer to that.
No one's better when you get angry and you yell and you name call.
Well, yeah.
And I think Wilbur's call is a good reminder of that. I think, folks, we're trying to at least find some middle ground. If you disagree, call in and explain it to me because we want to hear it.
Make your point without calling names.
Yeah.
And I think we're all capable of that.
Right. I understand maybe this time is a divisive one and folks are angry and they're riled up. And it's okay to be angry and riled up. But to have sane government moving forward, we need to find people coming together. We need to find compromise.
And here's the thing. If a law was broken and nobody, not even this president, is above the law.
Nobody.
He's not king.
No.
We have no kings in this country. That's why we separated from England.
Right.
We have no king. Everybody is subject to the law, the rule of law. And if the law was broken, if there really was a criminal act, it will come out. And then all of us can either change our minds or we can just dig in our heels even deeper.
Because this is America. Thank God.
You are free to change your mind.
Nobody's taking it easy today. We miss you, Glenn Frey.
Diane's in Edina, waiting on the line. Glad we got you in, Diane.
Oh, I'll just take a second, and you guys are doing so good to walk that fence because it's so easy to go to one or the other. And I just think we need to, like you guys said so well, take a step backwards and just look at what actually was accomplished. I'm sorry, I'm not on either side of the fence right at the moment because I looked with an open mind, and I think we all need to take a step back and listen to what really happened today, because I can remember Khrushchev with his foot, his shoe on the table, pounding it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was not good either.
Mm-mm.
And if he and Uncle Donald did the same thing at the same time, that would be really not good. So at least I think they're talking. I think if we could resolve the two most powerful nations, and maybe if they would ever allow their guys and our guys to talk, maybe we could find out what really happened.
Good perspective, Diane.
That's all. I just wanted to say, I hope people can just open their minds and shut their mouths and listen.
Thank you, Diane.
Good call, Diane.
That may not happen anytime soon.
We love you.
You know, Teddy Roosevelt said something interesting. He was our 26th president. I happen to admire Teddy Roosevelt because
it's amazing. He commented today after the summit. Wow, that is extraordinary.
He was a conservationist, and I thought he was a good president. He said patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president. And this, again, not my words, Teddy Roosevelt's words. So I want the president to be successful, whoever that is. But we have to wait and see how this unfolds. I think we're still in the third chapter of a 12-chapter book.
Oh, boy. We'll join you tomorrow. We'll start at 3. Have a great night.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.